Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're flying in, out of Pensacola Airport today, you might not be, or just pay attention, because there's a lot of disruption there because of the electrical stuff, the apparently a fire that had to do with the lighting on the runway last night, yesterday. A lot of delays, a lot of weird situations, so just kind of pay attention to the board and find out from your airlines what's going on. It's just a hot mess. And we don't know when it's going to be fixed either, so this could be again tonight as far as we know at the moment, but they're working on it. Chip Simmons is the sheriff of Escambia County. He always joins us this time on a Tuesday. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you? I'm just laughing. You're a hot mess. Your description of the situation.
They're trying.
Pass a Marconi.
Yeah, they got the down escalator fixed, repaired, done. So that's good news. And then
one mess fixed, yeah, another one.
This is not a great problem. It reminds us that things work so well most of the time.
Yes, exactly.
Right. There you go.
Exactly.
All right. So speaking of things that don't always work so well, you guys had on Friday, this is the most unfortunate name for a criminal, a guy named Dwayne Officer. Officer Common Dwayne was caught as a serial burglar. Is that right?
We arrested him for a couple burglaries, and then we ended up finding out that during the investigation, find out he was responsible for dozens of burglaries, and so we ended up serving the warrants. But it drew the attention of the local media because there was just so many charges of burglary, and that's because we have so many cases. And we were able to solve all those cases. Our investigators do a really good job of keeping track of these things, and they may not make the arrest in a day, but they certainly will make the arrest eventually.
And they can connect one person to that. And what was the ballpark number? Are we talking like 10, like 50?
Yeah, I think it was over 50.
Oh my God!
Okay. And I think there may have been some that
was that was that the one where the Channel 3 gal was holding up the list of the ones, and it was as long as she is tall.
Yeah, I believe that was the one. I didn't watch it. Yeah.
I thought that was so hilarious. I mean, terrible, but hilarious.
You have to do that.
That's a good demonstration, right? It's longer than a CVS receipt.
Yeah, it's not as good on the radio as it is on
TV. No, it's a visual thing. Yeah. We also had somebody that was climbing the water tower over on the west side, and you had to Baker Act him in the end. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of disruption. We had an individual that was climbing a water tower over off of Old Coryfield Road. We don't usually talk about these sort of things, but they was taken into custody for a involuntary type of a Baker Act or an evaluation.
How is it, from your perspective? I know we had a big issue with the hospitals and intake for Baker Acts, especially for juveniles, right? That has been one of the problems. But is that system, from your perspective, at the moment working? There are adequate facilities. You're not having to, I don't know, is that from law enforcement's perspective?
It's working. I still don't think we have quite enough beds. There are many times when they let us know that they are filled. But I think that they're trying. I think that Baptist Hospital and West Florida has continued to accept adults into their facility. So, and I also think that there's a plan to have
a primary intake facility.
A little bit Lakeview.
Okay.
And so they're working on that.
Okay. It was something we had talked about a bunch a few months ago when it was kind of a story, and then sometimes we forget about these things. So that's why I wanted to ask again to find out kind of where we stand now. We also had a Family Dollar story where what she claimed that she got robbed by somebody impersonating a cop, and it turns out not quite to be that.
Yeah, I don't want to give the bad guys any advice, but if you're going to claim that someone impersonating a police officer committed a crime, you need to know that we take that stuff obviously very serious.
Right.
And if we hear that someone's impersonating a deputy or a police officer, we're on that pretty hot and heavy because we understand what the implications could be. This lady decides that she's going to report that a person impersonating a cop has stolen like $4,500 from her.
Like deposits, right?
For the
company.
Dollar, right?
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting permission to search her and her bag, and lo and behold, the money that she says was stolen by a someone impersonating a law enforcement officer was in her car all along. So we ended up charging her with that with the theft of the bags.
Well, it's a common thing. I mean, you misidentify the sack in your car as somebody impersonating a law enforcement officer, right? I mean, it's a common problem.
All the time.
I thought it was robbed, but I had it here all along.
Yeah, but it was just in my car. Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe that's not right.
You don't let people off with a my bad. Come on, Chip.
Just kidding. No.
No, not in this. Not,
not
in
a case like that.
Not for me.
No. There are some bad.
We also had a bit of the sad note last week, Wednesday, Blunt and W Street, we had found a deceased person, right?
There's no suspicious circumstances involving it. Okay. No signs of foul play.
Okay.
That appears to be natural cause at this time.
And then we saw this in the and you know what? I wasn't sure if this was your incident or PPD's. I know it was an Escambia County incident. But we had a rather interesting incident between Markia Prather and William Young, allegedly, which just a different kind of a missile of a different sort.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny you say missile because there's a charge, a state statute called,
right?
deadly missile.
Yeah.
And it's when you throw something or cause something to be projected into a home or a car when someone's in it. And in this case, and it's not always a missile.
Okay. You know, right. Exactly.
In this case, yeah, it was, the people that knew each other, upset with each other. And she drives up and throws a brick at his car and his house, and he returns by throwing a brick. And
it's a brick fight.
It's a brick fight, you know, which is better than a gunfight.
That's true. That's true.
Unless you get hit in the head with a brick.
That's not good.
That's the argument there. But I again, that's kind of the unique situation that we had occur in there. But
and a good note on this one to me was she drives up allegedly, throws a brick at the house, doesn't do anything, throws it again, breaks up like a lawn ornament, and throws it at the car, breaks windows there. And you would think, well, now, you know, everything's fair. Well, if he responds in kind, unless you can explain that it was like justified self-defense, but as she's driving away, not so much, they're both wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talk about reasonableness and whether you can do that sort of thing. Did he feel like he was in jeopardy of any sort at the time he threw the brick?
Right.
You know, and really get back to what she did. I mean, the reason you throw the brick twice, I'm assuming, is that you only throw a brick for effect. You know, you throw a brick at a window and you expect that window to break.
Right.
Window doesn't break. And it's like,
so disappointing.
I failed. I need to do that again. Can I have a do-over? As our friend here would like to, you know,
like you go to the mullet toss and it slips out the back of your hand while you're cocking you know, and it doesn't work out right.
I mean, I guess you could practice before, you know, which I'm not suggesting anyone do. That's
premeditated bricking.
Terrible idea.
No.
But
sorry, I don't know why. I'm in that kind of a mood today. I don't know. I mean, there's serious stories.
Shirt.
People are going to jail, but it just, I don't know. Sometimes it just catches me off guard. Hang on for just a second, Chip. Let's get Kanye with traffic on the fives.
We're just watching one accident. This is I-10 eastbound in Milton at mile marker 32, and it is blocked. The left lane is open temporarily. They're working on that. And then Quintet and Shamukla Highway in Milton showing an accident with a possible roadblock. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Aside from all of the crime stuff, we have funding from the governor, fingers crossed, right? Because the veto pen has not been issued yet on everything, so we're still waiting to see.
Right.
But funding for ShotSpotter in a joint effort between you and the PPD City of Pensacola, right?
Yeah, early on, Mayor D.C. Reeves and I had a couple conversations about how we can partner because, again, bad guys don't care about the jurisdictional lines here. And we had discussed our effort to get a real-time crime center. And a part of that, boy, it sure could be enhanced if we had this ShotSpotter.
Mm-hmm.
And we partnered together in our local delegation, Senator Broxton and Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman all teamed up more or less on this. And we got it through the House and the Senate, and now it's just on the governor's desk. So hopefully he'll sign that. Give us the $850,000 that we need to get 3 square miles in the county, 3 square miles in the city, incorporate that into a real-time crime center, and basically use technology to help us with our crime-fighting efforts.
And just again, for people who might not remember the conversations or hadn't didn't hear them in the past, the ShotSpotter is a way to immediately know not only that it was a bullet and as opposed to a firecracker, as opposed to a car backfire,
right,
and to have an immediate location that triggers a response from the police because you know we're going to this corner because that's where the technology picked up that something happened, right?
Right. There's two parts of it. One is the detection of the sound, and the second thing is incorporate some cameras that would be in this 3 square mile area to point in that direction. So as we talked about here many times, there are occasions when we get phone calls 30 minutes after the fact. Mm-hmm. There's a shot. I thought I heard something 20 minutes ago or 30.
Right.
I didn't call. This will give us that immediate indication that a shot was fired. What if someone was hit or not? We would have to go and investigate it. But also, it'll give us the camera footage to see who was in entering that area and who was leaving that area as the shot, soon after the shot went off.
I'm sitting in my house, and I hear what sounds like a gunshot.
Okay.
It's not really all that rare of a thing,
right.
And I always just assume that it's fireworks. Or, you know, I live in the county. It might be somebody shooting a gun in their backyard, you know, and that as long as the bullet doesn't leave their yard and whatever, that's legal, okay? If you ride around, people shoot guns, okay? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to first gunshot call you immediately, call 911, call the non-emergency? What do you want me to do as a citizen?
I think if it's something that you think, oh, that's odd, you know, and I've heard the same thing. First of all, if it's the 4th of July, I don't know that, you know, evaluate those things. But I think that in my house, I've heard many times, I live up, you know, in Cantonment.
Yeah.
You know, I hear gunshots occasionally. But if you hear rapid, you know, rapid fire and this and that, and you think it's something that is suspicious, we might want to check out, then, yeah, give us a call. And sometimes you can tell does it sound like it's coming from next door?
Yeah.
You know, and you can peek out and see if there's no one outside that's, you know, shooting at a snake or something.
Turn the lights off in the room first.
And give us a call and let us know. But this, the ShotSpotter system itself, again, and I want to make sure that I give the local delegation, specifically Alex Andrade, who spearheaded this thing for us, you know, the kudos for saying, hey, what do you need? And then putting this thing forward. So we hope to incorporate into our real-time crime center by the end of the year if the governor doesn't veto it, and then we can go from there.
And again, that will be for certain areas. Everybody else will be no change. Still report if you're here because it's not going to have that system. Right. Last thing, best story of the week, Buster the Beagle. New puppy.
Well, I mean, he has to earn his keep.
Okay.
You know,
we
do have him. He's still a little bit of a puppy, as you've seen on our Facebook page. We have a new dog.
Why didn't you bring him in today?
Well, he's in training.
Chip.
He's in training.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't have a leave yet. He's just started.
He's not cleared for public conversation?
He's not. Well, not quite. Not quite.
All right.
But he does have a badge on, and you can see the picture of him. He's a beagle. I don't know. I'm not an expert in beagles. I know that they're fantastic tracking dogs. I know that we partner a lot with the Skamby County Road Prison and the Century Road Prison, and as I understand it,
it's a gaggle of beagles, right? They got the bloodhound and the beagles, right?
I don't know what they call them. I just call them a bunch of dogs.
It's fun to watch them bounding across the field looking for the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, they're not as intimidating, but man, they are relentless.
Oh yeah, very effective. Yeah.
In fact, we've used them several times, and we hope to use Buster, you know, to look for gun residue and that sort of thing, and bad guys. So I'm sure you'll be hearing about Buster in the future.
Very good. Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Skamby County, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe and bearing with us while I make jokes about, you know, premeditated bricking, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Somebody texted and said, make sure your bricks are locked and loaded.
Yeah. No, secure them safely, right? You don't want, you know, accidental discharge. 751 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.